Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny Show. Thank you so much for joining us. Joining me in the studio today is Sean Finnegan.
Chomp chomp.
Steven Rue.
What's up?
And CJ is on the way back. Very happy to say he'll be back on the show shortly. Today's episode is going to be all about reacting to the Black Armory, giving our thoughts and our first impressions of what that content is. So, guys, Black Armory is out, and I don't like it.
I know.
We know.
It's about 45 minutes of content. If you're light level 600, basically what you do is you do the grind on the EDZ, and then you go into the raid and you kill people, and then the grind's done. And then it opens up a recommended light level 610 activity, which is match made, which is a positive, and you can't beat it unless you're a super tryhard. How do you guys feel about it?
Well, so me and Steven beat it last night.
With who?
Teddy. As if that disqualifies us from having done it, you say. So hold on. Impressions. Yeah, I think it's interesting because after beating it, you get a little bit of a better glimpse of what Bungie is trying to do with these forges. And the idea that there's going to be multiple forges coming in the future where we unlock weapons for a week-long activity, it seems like it might actually be an interesting thing to do on the regular. Because
the forges.
Yeah, because so for instance, both Steven and I completed it, and the roll he got and the shader he got on the machine gun that you earned from that first time is like far superior to the one that I got. So I can see myself doing this once, twice, three times per week, just to get that god roll of the item, whatever you're trying to unlock. So it seems like there's something replayable there.
So did you have to power up or anything? Did you do it at 600? Did you do all the weeklies and everything to get to around 610?
So I was at 600 when Black Armory dropped. And then by the time we jumped in, I was right between 602 and 603. I'd gotten like a couple of small 601 or 602 upgrades from one or two weeklies and the dailies and stuff like that. Just like some random powerful engram drops. And that's where I was at. But I was the lowest and least effective in our group. Steven, you were like 607 or 608, right?
609.
Yeah, and then Teddy was 610, 612 in that area.
Yeah, I'm 610 right now. I'm going to be hopping back in probably with Teddy and some of the other people on the raid crew either today or tonight. But at the time when it launched, we were doing it around 602, only had two. We were matchmaking with the Blueberry, and that's kind of hit or miss. But they're all coming in around 600. And what really, really bothers me about the content is, A, the quest is absolutely ridiculous. You go to Spider, you get a card, you go in, she's like, you can't be here. Oh, yeah. Have this broken bust. You're good.
Steven and I were talking a little bit about that.
It's laughably terrible.
No, the way he described it, what I thought was really funny. Like, just figuring out where the Black Armory is to begin in the beginning.
Dude, like, okay, for the tower was destroyed.
and we rebuilt the tower, right?
Yeah.
Who the hell made the Black Armory?
How did none of us know?
And how did no one know the Black Armory was there? Like, I didn't know where the Black Armory was. And then when it said, go to the tower, I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
You go all the way downstairs. And I'm thinking to myself, who in the world made this room? Let this person in here. Let her put a guns in here.
Yeah.
Like, how did no one know about this?
And she, like, she totally hates Guardians, at least at the beginning.
Except
like,
for you.
Yeah, no, no.
Because you went and farmed a bunch of planetary materials or whatever.
She's, like, totally against Guardians. Yeah. So, like, the idea that, like, Zavala and Ikora were like, yeah, we'll let you, you know, be in the basement here. Like, it just doesn't really make any sense.
I just thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, it was really funny when you're like, all right, Black Armory, I'm going to go do this thing. And, like, they're like, go to the tower. And you're like, wait, it's the tower? Because Steven was like, when he was telling me, he was like, where do you, he was like, guess where Black Armory is. And I was like, where's the least interesting place that it could be? The tower. And he goes, that's exactly where it is. And I was like, oh, my God. So that was a little bit of a bummer. And then I thought that there was
What about the quest? What about the quest, Sean?
The quest is relatively straightforward, right?
Like, but is it good? Is this good? what you wanted? Because for me, it's literally go to a planet, kill some fallen. All right, now kill the big guy.
Yeah,
all right,
so
he's
I
dead.
Mean,
open the box. All right, actually, now go kill a bunch of stuff, and then you can do the fort.
Yeah, so I mean, you're oversimplifying a little bit, but not really.
No,
like basically, what you're supposed to do is kill a bunch of different enemies. With like one, you have to kill a bunch of enemies. Then
I can tell you the quest. I did it this morning.
Yeah,
kill the fallen. Kill the boss, open the chest
yep.
to get the masterwork core.
Kill the hive. Kill the hive.
Get double kill. Got double kills with a heavy machine gun. Kill powerful hive.
Yep.
Kill powerful enemies, which you go into the raid and do.
25
and then
times.
Do it again.
Do it again
in the raid. And then you can go into Archon's Forge.
Yeah.
Archon's
Forge. Sorry, sorry.
Volunder.
Volunder Forge. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, so I mean, like, it's pretty straightforward. But I don't think that that's the part that you should be focusing on, right? Like, that's the attunement, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're doing that so that you can unlock the forge, right?
Yeah.
So to me, the fact that it's, and it took me, you know, it took me like 30 minutes to do that part.
Yeah, that part's very.
So it's not all that difficult. So the fact that it's not, super engaging and amazing, doesn't really bother me all that much. But like you said,
yeah.
I am on the record many times as saying, like, I would have loved for that stuff to be more story oriented and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of where I'm coming from with this is that, it's, you know, Bungie was pretty clear that all of this stuff is going to be end game activities and end game stuff that isn't, you know, it's for players who are looking at that end game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we can't really be unhappy with the fact that it is.
Oh, I can be unhappy if I want to be unhappy, Sean. Don't tell me I can't be unhappy because this is a terrible expansion that they're charging $12 for. I'm really upset about this. I am allowed to feel how I feel. You can feel how you feel, and the rest of the community can feel how they feel. But they are charging people money to add matchmaking to a blind wall-like activity. And we're going to talk about the Volunder
Sport. But you call this $12, right? You can't buy Black Armory separately, right?
You're right. It's $35. And this type of content is going to take us until next year.
So what you're really angry about is that you've paid for something that you think is just this, but there's, you know, weeks and weeks more of this.
There are weeks and weeks more of it. Imagine you're a 500 to 550 level guardian and you've paid for the annual pass. You've done all the other content. Maybe you've even rated at that light level and you're like, oh, the Black Armory's out. I'm going to go play it. You get this terrible quest where you go do a bunch of grindy thing. Then you get to the Volunder's Forge and you can't do it. You're probably not going to be able to do it for a month or two. Even though there is the new catch-up mechanic with
but Bungie
the, with the
said end. Everyone knew that this was endgame content.
Yeah.
So if you bought the annual pass expecting to be able to jump right in and do something crazy at 540 or whatever level, then that's on you. Like, that's an expectation problem, not Bungie's problem, I think.
All they've done in marketing is show you the new weapons. They did a ViDoc talking about what it is
But in that ViDoc, they did say this is all endgame content.
It's endgame content that nobody can access unless you're at the light level cap for the Forsaken.
Which is the endgame.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. People are paying $35 for this and they can't play it.
That's their fault.
So we were all 600 when Black Armory dropped, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So initially, like the first 5-6 hours, I felt like what Destin feels right now. The problem is it doesn't feel like we got a brand new DLC. because we had to do the same content until we got to like 608, 610, right?
Yeah.
And then you can do the Forge. Mm-hmm. Like realistically, you can have a chance of beating the Forge. And it doesn't feel like we got a new DLC, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because we just had to do the same stuff again.
And to jump off of that, Steven,
yeah.
This feels like something that should have just been added to the game.
Oh, I hate that argument.
To add progression.
Everyone says that.
If they marked
in
it
Destiny
as
Destiny 1, we should have gotten Last Wish, which is part of that original $60.
Hey, you know what else was part of that?
Even if it was 3 years later.
You know what else was part of that? Trials, which is gone.
Yeah, but...
The faction rallies, which are gone...
But okay. we know that Destiny is not the same type of game as World of Warcraft where all the content just accumulates over expansions. It's not that game.
Yeah, but
I'm happy that I'm going to have something to do for months. The player base is going to bail on this game, and all that's going to be left are the people that are willing to do this activity.
So exactly,
and
that's what I was getting to. I'm worried that a lot of people who aren't at the 600 light level, they're going to have to grind for at least another month, right? And I don't know if they're going to stick around for that. So I'm worried about the player base because to them, it's not going to seem like they're going to have anything new to do for 3 weeks, right? Like they're not going to be able to do the raid because it's going to be like 6:30 or something. So that's what I'm worried about player base wise. However, after I did do the Forge with Sean and we did complete it, I started to understand where they were taking this. And you know how they were saying they don't want us to burn it through the content day one. They want it to be like a buffet that never ends.
Yeah.
And I can see how they're doing it. Like every weapon is going to be a random roll. All the Forge weapons are going to be a random roll. And then there's another set, although they're reskinned.
Yeah.
But there's random rolls on that. And what you're going to do is you're going to be going through that long grind to get that weapon constantly for the next couple months or so. My only worry though is, once everyone is at that light level and the difficulty of Forge doesn't matter and it's just strictly farming for weapons, if those weapons aren't stellar, like the EP shoddy, or like if there's no reason for me to grind any of those weapons because there's other better meta weapons, then where's all the content, right?
And that's the crux of it. Let's talk about the event, the Forge itself.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's interesting or compelling? Because
it's like the blind well.
It's exactly. And how do you feel about the blind well right now?
It's boring.
How do you feel about Escalation Protocol right now?
Well,
how I feel about it is Escalation Protocol.
I like Escalation
when it first
Protocol.
Came out. I really like how difficult it is right now.
Yeah.
But now when you do Escalation Protocol, it's a joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what the Forge is going to turn out to be, unless the next Forge is have something.
So that's the other thing is I have a little bit of faith. I hope that the next Forge is something different. Like I hope the mechanics are different.
Instead
I hope
just killing
I hope,
things. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope every Forge is different. Like if it's just the same thing where you're killing adds, throwing balls at the Forge in a different location, that's a little boring. But like the idea.
I think they'll be different.
Yeah. But the idea that, like Steven said, if the end game is collecting the perfect roll of weapons, right?
Yeah,
that's what it's
correct.
About,
yeah.
Right? So the idea that every week or every 2 weeks or whatever, there's going to be a new Forge and a new God roll to chase, and that at least for a couple of weeks, it might be pretty tough for people. I think that's more than enough for $12.
I will say this.
I'm
interested in chasing the weapons. You can't buy it individually, so it's $35. Actually,
right,
because you get the annual pass. If you break it apart, it's about 12 with taxes and all that crap.
I'm basically just using your words against you, is what I'm
okay.
Saying.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. It is $12, and this is an ever evolving game. They have to figure out a way to do this, but they're in a tricky spot where now they're releasing content that is basically stuff that normally the player base has expected to happen throughout the game as it evolves. Trials of Osiris comes out. That's a regular activity we can do. Iron Banner is a regular activity. New Forges would seem like something that Faction Rally should have been, and they're charging us for that now. And that's where I take issue. And also, I think it's really not going to be compelling content by week four, because if you go look at all those bounties are go grind, do a thing, which is like what Destiny is. And
so
I just think it's really poorly imagined, and I'm really disappointed with what it ends up being, even though I have stuff to chase.
I think I do agree with Steven. I do think they're in a tricky spot right now because there is this perception, and even I, who am defending Black Armory at this point, I do like even I recognize that I think that a lot of people don't feel like we got a new expansion. I think that's because of things that I was hoping to get that we didn't get. Like, so for instance, there's not much of a story behind the Black Armory that's explained in that quest. Like, you're not really fleshing out Ada 1 as a new character, although there's like a hint of it, you know, like, why is she so distrustful of Guardians? Doesn't matter. Next part of the story, right? Like, that's kind of how it's treated. I think if those things were integrated, we might feel like it's new content because all of the new content we've gotten before has included a new campaign and new characters and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the issue. But I think, like, this idea, I think we have, I think as regular Destiny players, I think the community has to give Bungie the benefit of the doubt here, right? This is a brand new format of distributing content that they have never tried before. Mm-hmm. And we shouldn't be so hot-headed to write it off immediately, literally a day after it released. Because
We're recording this before the raid comes out.
Yeah, good chance that, like, so that's the other thing is, like, so we tried whatever, we tried the Blind Well, right? We tried the Forge, and we're, some of us are, you know, okay on it, some of us are not so okay on it, right? But, like, we have a raid coming up in, like, a week or two, right? There's other stuff that's coming down the pipeline on a regular basis. Yeah. Like, I want to see where we're all at by week five or six.
Yeah.
And then how does that collection of content feel for what we're doing regular, like, on the regular, you know,
activity-wise and stuff. This annual pass has parsed out the content all the way past January to the next thing that we're getting, and then it'll take us all the way to the following September when I assume and hope we get a larger expansion of some sort.
Yeah, like, we're gonna have to try out all the forges, the raid, and there's that
exotic
there's like that secret mystery exotic quest. Do you guys know about, like, the secret in the forge?
There's a maze or something.
Well, if you get the machine gun, the forge weapons, they show markings on the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you, like, supposedly unlock this exotic quest. And I think that's awesome. Like, we need
that.
It seems, what was the gun from Wrath of the Machine? The pulse rifle. You had to do binary code. What was it called?
Oh,
something prime.
Outbreak Prime.
Outbreak Prime. It's like, it reminds me of that. So I think we need to wait and actually get all the content first before.
Exactly.
We do it. However, I think it's interesting because players do feel like they're getting gypped out of their money because it doesn't feel like a new DLC. Like, we didn't get that, like, first new story mission to, like, make it signify that we are in DLC. And I was thinking about this earlier. Do you remember in D1, whenever we got a new DLC, we got new music and a new menu?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think psychologically, that plays kind of a role into it. Like,
oh yeah,
it feels like you're not getting anything new because you're always getting that same music and launch screen, and then you're not doing any new content for like 10 hours.
I mean I definitely agree with you there, and I think that is part of it is psychological, but that's what I'm that's kind of what I'm trying to get at. It's like it's psychological right now. It's a day after the it's a day after the content's dropped. Let's see what that content feels like psychologically 5 weeks from now when there's five times new stuff. Maybe we've unlocked some exotic quests, maybe people have made more progress on finding out what that exotic is right now that's in the forge. And who knows, like, maybe one of those weapons or two of those weapons that come from the forge is, like, amazing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
that's what I hope. Because if they're not, there's no point to do the forge.
Here's another thing. So Forsaken is known for having an extremely shallow loot pool. And it feels like they took out a bunch of really cool weapons, put them in this content, and they're like, oh, we're going to take out like 20 weapons, and that's going to be what the Black Armory is, and people are going to grind to achieve these, and then that'll be our first expansion. This also sets a precedent for what we can expect for the other pieces of content in the annual pass, one of which does not have a raid.
The next one, yeah.
Yeah, the next one does not have a raid, and then the last one does have a raid. So we're going to get a raid. We're going to have a pretty good idea of what the forges are. And, I don't know. This is really weird. And every time I think about it and I try and, if I were to answer somebody's question, should I buy this? I'd be like, no. Well, what light level are you? Are you 500? No, then just don't buy it.
But that's such a, like, do you see why I think that's like a very presumptuous thing? It's like, you know, it's telling someone, it's like watching the first 2 minutes of a movie and being like, is this movie good? Should you watch it? Yes or no?
So what, like, people can spend their money today, and IGN.com has to recommend this to people or not recommend it to people.
Well, I mean,
that's a responsibility that I have right now.
That's a difficult position to be in as a reviewer.
I
totally understand.
I can't wait until January.
I'm not a reviewer and I don't have to, I don't have to say that.
Because of
you would tell your friends to pick this up if they're $550. Why?
If they were big Destiny fans and players.
Yeah, if they're, like, if, I don't know. Yeah. Like, if someone, it's, If a Destiny, if you're really into Destiny and you came up to me and you were like, should I buy this? I'd be like, yeah, if you're really into Destiny, sure, why not, right?
It's just like, it's funny because like we've been talking about how we want to cater it to the end game and the hardcore players. And it seems like
it is.
It kind of sucks because it doesn't feel like we got any new DLC because you have to get to the end game.
Doesn't feel like that yet.
So now, yes, exactly. Yeah. But now Bungie's in this situation where it's like, you guys wanted endgame, you guys wanted hardcore, but now you guys are you guys are pooping on us for making it difficult.
What did I said this on the show before, like before Black Armor came out, like I'll bet you that when this comes out and everyone who was saying we want more regular week to week new content to be able to do, all of those people are going to be like, no, we want $20 like significant expansions. Like that's what this is, right? Like everyone. Yeah. Not everyone.
I'm cautiously.
I'd say most people expected more than what we got with Black Armory.
Yeah, but we're week one of 12. You know, that's the thing. Is like just have some context.
We're
like,
week one of 12 because it'll be 3 months, right?
Yeah, ish. Right. So like, there's 12. Ideally, like that's the thing. Is if come week 10 or 12, and all the forges are the same, and the raid's not cool, and the weapons suck, then yes, I will agree with you that we can definitively say it wasn't worth the $12 or whatever it costs for this chunk, right? But like, we don't know we're there yet. So just if you're a fan and you trust that Destiny's been listening, the Bungie's been listening to people about the community, or what people in the community have been saying about Destiny lately, and I feel like they have because Forsaken's been in a good state.
Oh, yeah, they have.
Let's give them the benefit of the doubt and allow them to carry out a plan that proves to us that, you know, this stuff is worth doing and worth the money.
Yeah.
It's week one of 12.
I think there's a few ways.
Day two.
I think there's a few ways they could have done this a little bit better. A, the raid comes 3 days after it, and it's $650.
Would you rather have it next week, next Friday?
They probably should have waited one more week for the raid. Yeah.
Or, hear me out.
Yeah.
The Ghost of Fran just wants more power per hour.
No.
Like, it can be three days after, as long as we're jumping 5-10 light levels an hour.
I'll be light level ready for the raid for Friday, you know, but most people are not going to be accessing that content for months. And if you look at where Last Wish is right now, a lot of people have beaten that, and the people that have beaten that, maybe they'll take one person through, but the community is not playing that raid.
Actually, that's not the point. This raid arguably is more exclusive than Last Wish was because the soft cap stayed the same at around like, what was it, like 560 or something?
Yeah.
They didn't, in the raid or before it?
No, like the blue engrams and stuff. Like when everyone started Forsaken,
580.
We were all like, what was it, 350 or something? Mm-hmm. Oh, God. 400.
You had more ways to climb power.
Yeah, like blue engram. Yeah, there was so many ways to climb power. Now you have a week of milestones. And if you weren't at 600, you're going to miss a week. Basically, people are going to be already ahead of you. So this raid is actually more light exclusive than Last Wish, if you think about it.
Here's why I get upset about things in Destiny. I think about how it's going to impact the community. And to me, this is going to even further fracture the community than it already was. When we had that raid conversation, people were like on Fran and Andrea's side and people were on our side, Sean. And now you've taken that already split group and you're going to split this group again. So it's continually fracturing these little community pockets that Destiny has. Most players are probably 540 to 580 right now. Most people are not 580 to 6.
Okay, but like, I don't understand how that's a Bungie. I don't understand how Bungie solves that problem. Like, if, I find it a little backwards that people are so concerned about fracturing the community and those people haven't bothered to play the game enough to get up to the end game.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say your statement is a byproduct of them focusing more to the hardcore devoted fan base? Like, if you
partially,
if you make your game more endgamey and hardcore, you're gonna fracture a lot of people, right?
Yeah, you'll. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not a great term, but like you'll alienate the casual players, right? Mm-hmm. Like, but that's something. Like, one, I've always wanted Destiny to do that because I like games that are hardcore and deep and meaningful. But, like, I think that there's a little bit of a dissonance there, right? Like, I don't think you can do both at the same time, right? Like, there's no way that you can cater your game content-wise and price-wise to the people who play it most and who are most engaged with it and also make sure that that content works for the people who only play it an hour every month.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just doesn't work that way.
I can agree with you totally on the premise that chasing these endgame weapons is going to be interesting and something that you continually do, try and get your god roll. They're definitely desirable. I love machine guns, so they're one of my favorite weapons in the game. Would you agree about that part of it?
That, the part of
that, like, chasing the weapons. Chasing weapons.
Yeah, that's going to be fun, yeah, and interesting.
Yeah,
it seems like if that's that's the format they're leaning toward, mm-hmm, to trickle out content. But here, I have a question for you, Dustin.
Yeah, would you? I was going to elaborate upon that. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, but would you be? Would you feel how you feel now as, like, super negative toward the whole thing? If the first forge was light level recommended 600, and instead of 630, well, the boss is 630.
My issue isn't. I don't care about the power level requirement. I'm going to get there. I'm going to do the forge, like, after this show.
Yeah.
I almost did it at, like, 600.
Yeah.
Right. So my issue isn't with the power level. My issue is with more so the fact that they're going to alienate a huge chunk of the community, and that could be damaging to Destiny going forward. People are going to be really upset about this. And that sucks, because that means less people that I can play with. And it, in the long term, ends up hurting the game that I want to continue to play for a long time.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. Yeah. I do think this is going to alienate a bunch of people in the community.
To address that, I think they could have had difficulty settings, like, you know, they had in D1. You had, like, normal, medium, hard, basically, on everything in Destiny 1. That's not available in the Forge at all. The drops, if you don't complete it for round 1 or round 2, are non-existent, basically. I think you get a blue.
It's 2 tokens and a blue.
It's 2 tokens and a blue, which is a problem. And, so did you like the narrative that was delivered with Ada going into the Black Armory?
What narrative?
Exactly. It's not there. Did you like the grind? Is that interesting and compelling?
Like, to get to the Forge?
To get to the Forge.
I mean,
no, that's what we've been doing.
To be honest, though, I did not expect that quest, like, to frame or to forge or frame to ever be something fun or in-depth.
Yeah.
Like, I expected to kill a bunch of things.
Yeah. What bothers me is, we're introduced to this character. We're given this very easy to come up with quest line of just kill stuff.
Yeah.
Basically. And it just seems really uninspired. It's like they didn't even really try. They introduced some new stuff in the world. You kill the big guys. You get your one thing that you need. And then you go into the forge and you do it. And the forge is going to be boring in, like, a week or two.
That's my
once
worry.
You've done it.
That's my
it's going to be Blindwell. It's going to be Escalation Protocol. They're cool. They're interesting events. But it's like, once you have all the gear, you're done. You never need to do that content again. And maybe we're only going to need one piece of gear from that event.
Well, I mean, I'm still holding my breath a little bit, right? Like, there is this hope that the forges are different, right?
Yeah.
There's going to be a couple.
I'm pretty sure they're going to be different. Right? There's one on Friday.
Like, hopefully it isn't like the Blindwell or EP, where it's literally every time the same thing and same mechanics.
Yeah.
I think it's in a new location.
Yeah.
And I hope that's not the only thing that's different.
That's what I'm saying. Okay, baseline, it has to be in a different location, right? It's a different forge. But then if it's still, like, kill the glowing dudes and throw the balls, like, that would also suck. I would like for it to be something different. Because if every one of them's different, at least there's variation in that, and that feels more like new content.
Yeah,
right?
They're going to be different.
Like,
sure.
I said, though, I still have that same concern where, like, the event as I played it right now, it's fun because it's difficult, but it won't be difficult when I'm 630 or 650.
Just to play devil's advocate, I remember everyone loved EP when it first came out because it was so difficult and it was super fun. But now, if you think about it, it's very easy, right?
Yeah.
And they even implemented, if you get to the wave 7 boss and kill it, you can start at wave 6 again. So what it is now, EP, is you just want to get it done as fast as possible, try to get that weapon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think maybe in a couple weeks that we just want the forest to be done as soon as possible, so just we can grind these random roll weapons?
Yeah, but I mean, like, I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing, right? Because if I'm Bungie, how do I fix that, right? Oh, guess what? That forge you already did a billion times, well, now it's we have to use it to forge a new weapon, and this weapon's awesome. Like, I think the missed opportunity is actually in not giving the weapons or Ada any backstory or personality or lore, right? Like, imagine if that grind is boring to unlock the forge, and the forge itself, you could see it becoming boring after time.
Yeah.
But, like, think about
when you get the weapon?
Yeah, think about like, oh, what a, but I'm unlocking this legendary weapon. Like, like no guardian has ever used this weapon before. They've never been allowed to touch it or whatever it is. Like, just give me backstory that makes the weapon seem like it's desirable from a story standpoint. And that alone will feel like new content. Like, I think that's the missed opportunity.
Yeah, it would be
there.
Cool if you got the weapon, go back to when she says something about the weapon.
Yeah, like I don't even remember what it is, the weapon that I got. Like, what's it called?
Hammerhead.
Yeah. Okay. You're right. That's what it's like. I didn't even remember what it's called because it's just. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I'm really glad you have the stance that you have because I was going to try and explain why I don't like it and why I like it. I like that there is new in-game stuff that is being spaced out. I think it's weird that it's $12. It's weird that we have to pay for them keeping the game going with end-game content. But I don't mind paying for a raid.
Why is that weird, though? Like, so for instance,
I think what doesn't
World of Warcraft, we pay $15 a month, and that $15 a month, it's not like it goes towards one maintaining everything, but the two developing new content, right? Which we get, which players get every couple of months or whatever, right? This is that, right?
Yeah.
You pay one, it's $35, and you get however many months of content it is.
Yeah. I think what Destin is trying to say is because the activity is so shallow, we're essentially just paying $12 to see our number to get 650 instead of 600, right?
The event's pretty lackluster. You just go in there, you kill ads, you just throw the ball.
Yeah. But I mean, that's like what a, I guess in every game, like WoW, I don't play WoW, but like you're paying for that higher progression level.
And it also comes at a time when we've lost two pinnacle activities that were promised for free. Trials and they're like trials and faction rallies. Faction rallies have been removed from the game entirely.
Hey, who cares about faction rallies?
Because they were so bad. If this was faction rallies.
Yeah, but that's why are you angry then? Like that it's gone. Like no one cared when they were in the game.
Because it was set up on a roadmap of expectations that Bungie put forth to the community. And they're like, yeah, we just decided to take that away. Give us $12. Here's some repetitive grind that you can do.
I don't know. I mean, to me, like it is a discussion of value, which is subjective and it's different for everyone. But for me, there is no value in taking away or adding an event that no one cared about in the first place. Mm-hmm. Like if no one cares about it, no one even engages with it and no one even knows it's there and you take it out, that isn't value subtracted for me personally. It might be for you, which sounds like it is. But like trials, that's absolutely value.
For context,
added, you know,
Bungie gave all of us game codes, so we don't pay anything for it.
True.
They sent us those game codes to a bunch of people in the office. I'm trying to think about the consumer who's bought this annual pass, who is a normal player, who doesn't do it for work, and what they're going to be experiencing. And it's going to be mostly negative.
I agree. I agree with that.
I think it's a matter of expectation.
They need to get good. Well,
I mean, no, like, it's not a matter of get good. It's like get
all
further.
The marketing. All the marketing, Sean, does not make it look like this is what it's going to be. It's seriously going to be go do the forge,
Destin,
for the rest of the
your
next
issue is
three
with
months.
Marketing. You know,
it's
marketing
terrible.
Better than anyone.
I think
like marketing
misleading.
Never tells the story.
It's
always
so
mistake.
Misleading.
That's what marketing does.
Yeah,
that's what marketing is.
Mm-hmm.
I think Destin is right though. Like if I think we're cautiously optimistic about we need to wait and see, right?
Yeah,
to see if we like this DLC. However, like the average consumer, the average Destin player that doesn't play like 5 hours a day is going to see like, I'm doing the same thing over and over again. I don't want to play this anymore.
They've set an expectation for 4 years that this content drop is going to be something compelling and interesting, and it's not.
Wait, what? 4 years? What are you talking about?
Every content expansion that they've done that is not a big content drop since Destiny's launch, right, has had story narrative and then...
Are you talking about like
Raid, compelling activities. Curse of Osiris, Warmind, and even before that in Destiny 1, you had the... I don't remember what it was. Dark Below.
House of Wolves.
House of Wolves was Skolas.
Yes.
Another activity. And then this one is like, hey, we took out the story part. That's interesting. And you just get the activities now. And,
I mean,
and that's where I'm kind of like... That's weird to me.
I feel like I'm the only one who ever fights for story and narrative and stuff, so that shouldn't be such a huge issue. But I feel like they were pretty clear about what this kind of content was going to be. Like they said it was end game content, right?
Yeah.
Like, what is the end game? It's chasing weapons for the god roll. It's doing the same activities over and over again to get the perfect thing. And it's as a guardian, it's working on something, right? Like when you're playing Destiny, it's what are you working on, right? Like I'm still chasing that Dredgen title. Like I'm getting really close, right? Like everyone who plays the game regularly is trying to achieve some goal, right? This is now a format which allows Bungie to give every week guardians potential to do a new goal.
Yeah.
To set a new goal. And so I can see how everyone's pissed now because right now there's only one goal, right?
Go do it's just go this do the forge.
It's just this weapon, right? But next week there will be another one. Yeah.
No, this Friday there will be another one.
Friday there will be another one. And then right after that, another one, another one. And it'll be like this for months. So I think
that is a good point.
I'm just, I get the philosophy. Like, I'm totally, saying what you're saying when you're evaluating what's in front of us right now. My point is that let's have some perspective and recognize that this is part one of 12.
Sean not playing the angry guy part.
I know.
I mean, it's weird.
But I agree with you. It's way too
just
early to jump
have
ship.
Some patience, have
it's
some
way,
perspective.
It's way too early to jump ship.
Like, we knew that this was going to – we talked about it at length on the show, right? This is a brand new way that they're going to try putting out content. Let's give it a shot to be good because here's the thing. It might not be good, right? And if it's not, then we can voice our concerns then. But let's not write it off immediately because what if it is good in the future? Like what if, you know, let's say the first month it's a little – they have Bungie has a little bit of a rough go at it, right? But then the community, as they always do, voices their concerns and the Reddit threads are popping up. Hey, here's how this could be better. Here's how it's bad right now and how we might fix it. And what do you know, like 6 months from now – we're in another amazing spot where we've now changed the way Bungie can distribute content, and guess what? It's amazing. Like, we should hope for that. We should give them the chance to get there.
I honestly don't know how I'm going to totally feel about it until the next one launches, because then we'll have context for the amount of time that we spend on these things. Because I think after we get the drops from this week, maybe we'll do it. Like, we're going to be 650 in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, tops, us in this room, and then we're going to be bored again. You know, it's going to be interesting to see if this manages to string us along.
Yeah, that's interesting. Like,
I mean, the raid.
I think
there's a new raid.
Yeah, I think TLDR. Friday. I'm cautiously optimistic about how they're doing things from now on. Although I do think the roadblock in the first hours of the DLC to get to the new content was disheartening.
You mean like you had to be 600?
Yes, and even when we were at 600, we were just doing the same stuff over and over again.
Yeah.
Until, like, we got to the Forge. But I think once you're at that level, I think it could be really good.
I like matchmaking. I'll give them that. They finally added matchmaking, the public activity.
And guess what? It's exactly as I thought it would be, right? How's it playing with a blueberry who you can't talk to?
That's terrible.
Yeah. What do you know? Why do you think they haven't put it in raids?
Yeah.
Because it's terrible.
I was never on the side where I totally understand why they don't have matchmaking raids.
Like, no, I get
it. It's bad now because it's really difficult, but when everybody's 650, it's not going to be bad. You're going to be tearing through it, and you'll have that blueberry to help
You ever had to do, like, so I've been grinding Gambit solo a lot because I'm trying to get that title. You know how frustrating it is to play with morons? Like, that's what happens in matchmaking.
Dude.
Like,
well, here's another thing. You know how frustrating it is? Like, you're in a group of six for a raid, and someone was like, hold on, I need to take a phone call. I can't talk for 30 minutes. That alone is frustrating.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Can you imagine matchmaking with strangers?
I was definitely in a match where we had 73 motes and two of my teammates went and grabbed 15. Two of them. I'm following them around, shooting them, mailing them, being like, hey, dude, just don't, like, it doesn't matter. Like, either one of you, like the other one.
Just
you
go can, put them in the
you
thing.
You can go grab 15 if you want.
Oh, we're just checking out this cool Gambit thing.
And I'm just like, I'm trying to get the meatball. I'm trying to win here. Like, it's really hard. I can't talk to them because there's no, like, team chat or whatever.
And it's funny because the announcer's like, put your moat.
Yeah, he keeps saying
it. He says it over again. You got enough moats.
Yeah. Summon that primeval. Yeah. Like, he's saying it. So, like,
hey, buddy, either, go deposit that moat.
Either their headsets are off or they're just idiots or they're like, they're purposely trolling me. But, like, that's why Bungie doesn't put matchmaking in the raids, because for events that
would be frustrating as heck.
That's my alt account. I just try and match with Sean.
Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah. Like, it would be so frustrating. And that was the other thing is, like, me, Steven, and Teddy, we did it. We did the Forge, and we failed the first time. Right.
We had to be perfect. Like, we had the well melting point three supers, and we had to clear ads, and then
changed
we
changed the strategy,
and then we
changed our strategy.
Yeah, we just made it.
Like, it.
I could have done it last night. I made the decision to spend the night with my girlfriend. So I think I made the right choice.
You're just way cooler than us. Like, we, you know, at one point we had Steven in a corner, me in another corner, Teddy in another corner. We kind of just like help each other out. By that second wave, Steven was like, we're not killing these things fast. Yeah. We need to be way more efficient. So we group up and we just ran in a circle all together, chaining our supers and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that made it way more effective. So even just making a strategic change like that with someone who isn't on mic or not in your party, like, of course it's going to be impossible. Greggy. So I guess good job, Bungie, for implementing something the community wants. Mm-hmm. Bad job, community, for not recognizing why they didn't do it in the first place. Because once you try it, it's going to be frustrating.
Again, it's going to be fine unless there's something mechanically, like with Escalation Protocol, that the blueberries just don't get. Like when the ogre's out and nobody's shooting the explodey guys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like if something like that is introduced, it's going to be terrible. But for now, it's grab the ball, throw the thing, kill the bad guys.
Dude, I really don't think they should ever put matchmaking into raids. And I'm probably going to get flamed for that comp, but it's going to be... it's going to be messy.
They try with that again.
So I want them to do it just so everyone who thinks that it would be a good idea can see how terrible an experience it is and then know that, like, unequivocally that they're wrong.
There's a way to do it correctly, because we've seen all these communities pop up that are like LFGs and stuff like that. And if they can figure it out, I'm sure Bungie can figure out how to do it well.
But in LFG, your party leader or whoever's finding the ringer is selecting someone like out of a pool of people.
Let me make that. That sounds great. Make that in-game in Destiny. They do it in World of Warcraft. They do it in Final Fantasy.
Are you talking about Guided Games? Well, it's funny that we're talking about this, because yesterday we did it at Guided Games and we got somebody who's never done the raid before.
Really?
Yeah. But we are obviously all in mics. We were all in Discord. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I've never done this raid before. I was kind of nervous to even like do this Guided Games thing.
Yeah.
Because I heard it's a very hard raid and we blew through it. But can you imagine if that guy did a matchmake raid with five bozos who weren't on mic and would never ever do it again.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He would hate it. He would think it was terrible.
Yeah, and again, like, I think people think about matchmaking the way that they've implemented with strikes. No, don't do that. I think Guided Games is really interesting, but like you just simply can't get a game.
Yeah.
And like people have queued for an hour and never gotten a game. It's great. So interesting concept. Didn't work. Take it back to the drawing board and figure something out. We're way over on time. Yeah. We're at about 40 minutes. This was supposed to be a short episode.
People like the longer
episode. Yeah. Though. Hey, I really appreciate you guys being here. I'm glad you guys were able to complete it. I'm going to go complete it right now. My buddy McCadley's waiting and we're going to run it. And thank you all for watching the show. Let us know what you think about Black Armory in the comments below. Please be a little bit nice to me, because I know I'm going to get flamed a lot for this episode. Really? And that is it for this episode. Until next time, everybody, Guardians out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts, with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz, and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.